We will pause for a few moments of silent prayer. You may use the time for rebound if necessary. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for another opportunity to study your word. It is our prayer that the Holy Spirit would guide us during the time that we observe Yom Kippur. Lift our prayer in Christ's name. Amen. So there are two goats. We left off with the goats. And it says that one of them is called a scapegoat. And there is a term that is used by the Jews to identify this particular goat. It's called Azazel. I want to give you some information about him. This word, this is a footnote if you like to follow along. This word is found in connection with the ceremony of the Day of Atonement. After the purification of the inner sanctuary, that's the Holy of Holies. Let's see if I can find. Put a map up for you. Let's go back here first. This structure here is the temple. And this is going to be a diagram of that structure. There are little red dots with the lowercase letters inside that will identify certain locations of the process of Yom Kippur as it moves along in our rendition here. So I wanted you to see that. What you saw on the hill, Mount Moriah, this is a diagram of that. Now, this is not the tabernacle. This is the temple. And this is the tabernacle. The red lines indicate what the tabernacle would be were it on Mount Moriah. This is the temple. Now, this is an outer court here. Women can go in here. And so on. But we're going to look at some red dots that are associated with the temple that you saw on the hill of Mount Moriah. So after the purification of the inner sanctuary, now that's the Holy of Holies, and you can see that the Holy of Holies is this. Looks like it would be this right here. There's a line here I don't get, but nevertheless, there you go. And it's indicated by the lowercase letter G. Okay. So Holy of Holies, that's the inner sanctuary of the tent of the meeting. And the altar is the brass altar. This is the place where you're going to have some sacrifices before we get done. We don't do sacrifices today. I mean, maybe we should when people don't behave, but nevertheless, haven't gotten around to that quite yet. So nevertheless, this is the slaughtering place right here, that slaughtering place, and the tethering place. We'll have to note that. And then, of course, this is the brass altar over here. A goat is going to have to die over here. And it's an innocent goat. It hadn't done anything, so that's very important, other than smell bad. So the living goat is to be brought. See, there's a goat to be sacrificed and a goat that's going to live. Okay? So keep that in mind. There are two goats. The living goat is brought, and Aaron shall lay both his hands upon the head of the live goat and confess over him all their sins. And he shall put them upon the head of the goat. Am I going blind and then the light go out? Something went wrong. Okay. I have these things going on in my head. And I wonder, whoa, I'm going blind now. So, on the head of the goat, and shall send him away by the hand of a man that is in readiness into the wilderness. So there's a guy standing by the high priest. He's going to lay his hands, both hands, on the living goat. And therefore, he's going to transfer the sins of the people to that goat. All of the meanings of this will develop as we go through. And the goat shall bear upon him all their iniquities unto a solitary land. In other words, what is going to happen here? He's going to be cut off from Mount Moriah. Now this, by the way, let's go back to here. This is the place. Trying to look approximately. See, you have to go back to the initial wall. I would say somewhere in this neighborhood is Golgotha. And this is the temple and so on. And this is basically the city. Now, the goat is going to be taken outside of the city. So he's got to go. So the meanings of all of this will become clear. He'll go to a solitary land. And he shall let go the goat in the wilderness. Both goats, so to say, represent two sides of the same thing. The second is necessary to make clear what the first one, which has been slain, can no longer represent, namely the removal of sin. So we've got two goats, and in order to get across what's going on here to the people and what the goat represents, they have to have two goats. One of them is going to go, its blood rather, the blood is going to go in the Holy of Holies here. That's goat number one. And then there's going to be a goat number two that we just defined, Azazel. It's going to go outside the city. So we have two goats here, but they, the Jews, are to view both goats as the same thing in order for the people to understand what is going on both inside and outside. Now, we've done the etymology and we've developed the fact that the root word means cut off. And so Isaiah uses cut off in the King James Version. And you have also the other English translations using the same phrase, cut off. What does cut off mean? It means that Jesus Christ, as the true sacrifice, is going to be cut off from what? From God. And that being cut off will last for 3 hours. And what goes on during the 3 hours is the judgment of our sins. This is brought out as a type in the Yom Kippur process. It lasts all day. And so Yom Kippur is the type where Jesus Christ on the cross is the antitype. You know, the concept there is typology. Things in the Old Testament represent events in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, they're simply teaching aids, where in the New Testament, they are historical events. So the type is the teaching aid. The antitype is the historical event. The historical event of Christ as well as that second goat, that concept is spiritual death. So we're going to develop that as we go through this. There's a final paragraph here in the etymology. It's entitled Collective Separation. In a vision of the field of the dead, the exiles are described figuratively as those who are cut off. All three phrases of this quotation express the hopeless dying up, perishing, and being cut off. So I hope I've established the fact that our term, gazer, means to be cut off. So we have to therefore take the type and develop it into the antitype. And we're going to do that by observing Yom Kippur. Now the sacrifice of the two goats gives insight to the wording cut off, gazar, in Isaiah 53:8, which we established could be translated in one of three ways, each a synonym of one another. To separate, to divide, or to be excluded, and to cut off as a way to summarize the three. Now, during the observance of Yom Kippur, the two goats are types of the spiritual death of the Messiah. So they're learning through visual aid. The high priest is going to carry out the details of the Yom Kippur event that involves two sacrifices. One is going to be executed. It's innocent. It's going to be on the brass altar. The blood will be taken into the Holy of Holies and sprinkled on the mercy seat, and that will reveal to both righteousness and justice, in other words, the integrity of God, that an innocent animal has been sacrificed to represent the spiritual death of Christ on the cross. So there's that. Then another animal is going to be taken into the wilderness approximately 10 miles away from the city, and it's going to be released into the wilderness. It's got to fend for itself, but goats like sheep are not very bright, and some other beast is going to pounce upon it, and it will be executed in the wilderness. And therefore, the sins are going to be taken away. That's the concept we'll see develop there. And so, cut off, again, is brought to our attention. Now, during the observance of Yom Kippur, the two goats are types for the spiritual death of Christ. So let's get a little more information. There are some footnotes here that will be helpful. The Day of Atonement is the English equivalent of Yom Kippur. Kippur is from the Hebrew kafar, meaning to cover. And therefore, the word atonement simply means a covering. The sins are going to be covered. They're not going to be judged. It is a way to teach the ultimate sacrifice of the Messiah that will completely remove the sins as an issue. And therefore, one may receive the blessings of this sacrifice by simple faith alone in Messiah alone. So it was on Yom Kippur that an atonement or a covering was made for the previous year's sins. See, they get, whatever you do over the coming year, let's start on January the 1st, and you go all the way down to December the 31st, and you knock out a ritual of some kind. And you believe that all of your sins have been covered for the preceding year. And so you have a big feast after this because you've been fasting, and therefore the big feast comes and you get to eat again. This is all ritual. This is all a way to teach doctrine. Has no meaning whatsoever with regard to anything else other than the ritualistic concept that points to Jesus Christ as the reality. That's it. They're trying to learn what Messiah will do on their behalf at some point in future history. And therefore, we have to wait until the Messiah arrives in history. But in the meantime, they're going to cover the sins. That's the concept. They're going to cover them. We will take care of them ritualistically here, but we will take care of them in reality in the future. So that's the idea here. It was on Yom Kippur that an atonement or a covering was made for the previous year's sins. The atonement or covering consisted of a blood sacrifice of an innocent animal. The blood represented the reality that the animal had been sacrificed. It was a real sacrifice of the animal, but it was a type of the efficacious sacrifice of Christ or Messiah that would occur in the future. Now, the confession of the high priest, this is where I want to go back to our diagram so you can see the layout of the temple area. The confession of the high priest. The high priest began the afternoon service by moving to the court of priests, where a young bull awaited him between the altar and the temple porch. So the altar is noted by the letter C, that's right here, and the temple porch, which is right here. So he's going to be slaughtered between those two positions. And that would note letters C and F. Now, since the bull was the sin offering for the high priest, just that guy, why a sin offering for the high priest? He's got to go into the Holy of Holies. Nobody goes in there unless they have direct permission to do so. Who is it that gets to do this? There's one guy, and it's called the high priest. He's a Levite. And he is going to clean himself. Over the course of the day, he will take 5 baths. Now, he's going to be sacrificing a bull. He's going to be involved in sacrificing a goat. He's going to be involved in releasing the other goat. And he probably is going to have a bit of an odor at several points during the day. But he must be very clean. He needs to wash himself well as he prepares to go into the Holy of Holies. He represents God. He is the high priest. He's the only one that can go into the chamber called the Holy of Holies, and it's the letter G. So when he goes behind the veil, he had better have done all of the ritualistic concepts perfectly, or he is going to drop dead and people have to somehow go there and pull him out of there. So I think that high priests get very nervous on the approach of Yom Kippur. He has got to be clean. And when he goes in there, he's going to take the blood of the first goat. And he's going to sprinkle it on the mercy seat. What is this ritual conveying to the people? Well, the high priest has to be ritualistically pure when he goes behind the veil. He represents that by taking all of these baths. He represents that by taking the necessary blood of the sacrificial animal behind that veil. And when he does, what does that purport to the integrity of God? He's followed the ritual requests all the way up to the point of bringing the blood behind the veil. Now, what does that tell the people? It tells the people that the life of the animal is in its blood. And when he takes the sacrificial animal's blood behind the veil, it is representing the fact of Jesus Christ's substitutionary, innocent sacrifice on Calvary's cross. And when that blood is recognized by the two angels, one representing righteousness, the other justice, together integrity, and it's sprinkled on the mercy seat, when that is visualized by these angels and they are there, and they're symbolized by the golden concept, all of that is symbolic of the fact that God's integrity is observing whether or not the sacrifice has been properly acquired. And so when the blood shows up, it says two things. There's an innocent animal who is guilty of nothing. And it has died physically because its blood has been drained. And therefore, it is a substitutionary, innocent sacrifice that is a type of Jesus Christ, who on the cross actually carried out the ultimate sacrifice that will provide salvation for whoever will believe in Messiah. So there's that. Now let's continue on. Since the bull was the sin offering for the high priest and the priesthood, the ceremony took place near the temple where the priests ministered. Now let's take a look at the two goats. The high priest was next escorted by two priests to the eastern side of the altar. That's letter E. Here's the altar right here. And that is the brass altar, and that's where goat number one is going to be sacrificed. Two goats stood there side by side awaiting the high priest. They were identical in size, color, and value. Very important comment. They were identical. In other words, they went to the flock of goats, and those assigned the duty were to find two goats that looked as if they might be twins. In other words, in the way that they looked, the way that they were in their size and in the color. Why? The people needed to get the idea that each goat had a responsibility to convey to them the function of the Messiah, what the Messiah would do for them. And each goat has a responsibility to convey information, one going into the Holy of Holies, the other being taken or cut off into the wilderness. Now let's look at a couple of things here. We noted the fact that a young bull awaited him between the altar and the temple porch. Footnote 3. The highlighted letters are location dots that refer to the visual, Israel's temple, 1st century A.D. And that's noted on there somewhere. Now let's go to number 4. This is the one we're about to note. Number 4, footnote 4, has to do with two golden lots. Now some people think that these lots are dice, and that the high priest rolls the dice as to find out what goat does what. Well, it's not. It's called a lot here. There are two of them, therefore lots. And we will find out what they're doing in a moment, but I want you to understand that the two golden lots simply are, let's just call them in 21st century vernacular, to die. And therefore, these dice are going to determine two things for us. Now, it's not like rolling the bones when you were in high school. It's simply the fact that these dice are named. One of them is named for Yahweh. The other one is going to be named for Azazel. So Azazel is going to be the goat that goes in the wilderness. And for Yahweh is going to be the goat that will be sacrificed and whose blood will be taken into the Holy of Holies. So there's simply two of them, and we'll see how they get played out here in a moment. But please note the fact that there are two golden lots, or dice if you prefer. They were placed inside a golden vessel sitting on the stone pavement nearby. One was inscribed for Yahweh, and the other was for Azazel. The high priest shook the vessel and randomly took one lot in each hand. He has no idea what hand holds what, but it's simply the way by which God wanted them to designate the goats. Now the high priest took the vessel and randomly took one lot in each hand as he held the lots to the foreheads of the goats and determined the outcome. He declared them a sin offering for the Lord. The two goats together were viewed as one singular offering. I read that again because it's important you get that. It says the two goats together were viewed as one singular offering. So these who are observing Yom Kippur, the Jews who are around the temple area, they understand that there are two goats. One will represent God. That will be the goat that goes into the Holy of Holies, taken there by the high priest. And the second lot will represent Azazel. That will be the goat that is taken or cut off from the city, taken out into the wilderness at least 10 miles, and then let loose. And letting it loose means it is gone, it is separated, it is divided, it is cut off, and somehow it's going to lose its life out in the wilderness. And they have great confidence that that will occur because of the type of beasts that are out there that like goat meat. And so the goat determined for Yahweh was left to face the large stone altar, the place where it was shortly to be offered as a sin offering. And that's the blood sacrifice. Now the scapegoat. Attention was then drawn to the remaining goat. The high priest proceeded to lay his hands on its head and confess the sins of the people upon it, upon that goat. The scapegoat was led through the eastern gate. That's I right here. Led him out of there. Now he's left the temple area. He's out in the court of the women now. And he's going to exit that and be taken out of the city and then 10 miles away from the city at least. Then he will be released or cut off. While the scapegoat was being led away into the wilderness, and the people awaited word that it had been accomplished, the afternoon service continued. The high priest finished sacrificing the bull and the goat on the altar, and their remaining parts were taken outside the city to be burned. Then the high priest addressed the people. He read the Yom Kippur passages from Leviticus and quoted the Numbers passage by heart to approve or to confirm that all commandments had been duly accomplished. Finally, the remaining offerings for Yom Kippur were offered. These were the burnt offerings as opposed to the sin offerings. When the afternoon sun setting in the west, the high priest entered the Holy of Holies, that's G, a final time, to remove the fire pan and incense ladle. They then bathed for the fifth time during the day and changed into his golden garments. As the autumn night quickly approached, he performed the regular evening temple service and drew Yom Kippur to a close. So, that is the whole process for Yom Kippur. Now, they can't do that today. They don't have a temple. They have the Wailing Wall. They're still trying to subscribe to as much as they can the regulations imposed by the Mosaic Law on the Yom Kippur sacrifices. It's not my knowledge that they have any goats involved today. But nevertheless, the concepts are there. And it's the most important day in Jewish religious function. And if you know any Jews, when you see Yom Kippur on your calendar, just know that they are very seriously involved in their sacrifices that occur on that day. And they do have a system, and it's of no value to us in our discussion. Now, during the observance of Yom Kippur, the two goats are types for the spiritual death of Messiah. Now, I want to note for you, I think Azazel is where we noted the scapegoat. That's an interesting word, but what the scapegoat concept conveys to us is that this particular goat is going to be cut off, the scapegoat. In other words, scape means he's going to take on the burden of the sins of the people. So he is the scapegoat, the Azazel. And it is always of most importance that that be available to the high priest as well as the other goat whose blood has to go into the Holy of Holies. Now, the goat determined for Yahweh was left to face the large stone altar, the place where it was shortly to be offered as a sin offering. Now, we've looked at both of these goats, one for Yahweh and one for the people. Now, from the excerpts we get insight about the meaning of the phrase was cut off in Isaiah 53, verse 8. We have quite a number of points under this. I can give you a few of them before we run out of time today, but it will give you an introduction to what we will continue to observe on Wednesday. From these excerpts, we then get insight. First of all, the definition of gazar includes to separate, to divide, or to exclude. And so cut off is excellent to summarize the three. Two goats were selected to represent the Messiah's sacrifice. The goats were identical in size, color, and value. They were viewed as one, the E has been left off, viewed as one singular offering, not two. Very important, because they teach two concepts. So the high priest, by means of lots, selected one goat to be slaughtered on the brazen altar, and the other to be separated into the wilderness, representing the sins of the people being judged. The sins are judged in the wilderness, separated from the people, cut off from the people. That's what's being communicated. And so when Christ is on the cross and the sins of all mankind are imputed to him, and then his fellowship with the Father has been removed or cut off, then it is during that 3-hour period that our sins are being judged by Messiah, where on Yom Kippur, they are symbolically judged in the wilderness, where the goat, the scapegoat, has therefore been sacrificed to some animal out in the wilderness that consumed it. And when that scapegoat is removed from the city, it has been cut off. And therefore, being cut off, it is taking away from the city the sins of the people, and therefore they are being judged in the wilderness. And that would be where Christ is for those 3 hours, in the wilderness, which is symbolic of being separated from God and fellowship with Him for that 3-hour period. So the high priest, by means of lot, selected one goat to be slaughtered on the brazen altar and the other to be separated into the wilderness, representing the sins of the people that are being judged. The high priest took the blood of the first goat into the Holy of Holies, which represented the perfection of the Messiah and his qualification to take on the imputation of the sins of the people, including you. Cut off. So when we go back to Isaiah, he was seized by government authority, Jewish and Roman, and by legal procedure, 6 trials, beginning in the Garden of Gethsemane, and as for his generation, his time in the incarnation, during the passion and post-resurrection, who considered he received the action of dying spiritual death. Jesus Christ, therefore, was cut off. He was the ultimate sacrifice. He was the antitype represented by the types that were found in the Yom Kippur sacrifices. And this, therefore, buttons up the concept of being taken away. And therefore, he was cut off. He was cut off from the Father because of our sins. Well, this is a good place to stop. We have a number of points to go to summarize all of this, and we will take that up on Wednesday evening. Now, Father, we thank you for the opportunity of studying these things today. We understand the Jews a little better about what they're doing on Yom Kippur. Very important to them. More important would be if they understood what the types represented. So we pray for the Jews. We pray for their current circumstance in their homeland. We pray you would protect them, give them the strength to withstand all of the challenges that come their way simply because they're Jews. And we thank you for the concepts available to us today regarding Yom Kippur and the Holy Spirit's power to bring these things to our conscious mind and understand the ultimate sacrifice of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we lift our prayer in Christ's name. Amen.